Recorded Books presents The Mystery of the Missing Frenchman, The Third Lady in Blue Mystery by H.L. Marseille, narrated by Bianca Amato. Chapter 1.
Sergeant Taylor, I really don't think she knows anything, insisted Dorothy, as the young maid in the chair next to her sobbed loudly into her apron. Sergeant Taylor frowned as he continued to pace up and down in front of them, his hands clasped behind his back. The hulking figure of Sergeant Brooke with his bushy beard was also lurking in the corner, although he remained silent. Personally, Dorothy thought they would have had far more success if she had been allowed to interview the maid alone, or perhaps with the assistance of Sergeant Clark, the older detective they worked with. His grumpy but grandfatherly manner would surely have been an improvement on the shouting and threats coming from Taylor. However, she had kept these thoughts to herself. She knew she was lucky they had even allowed her to be present while they interviewed the female witnesses. She had been working with this group of detectives, under the leadership of Inspector Derwent, for several months now, and she could hardly believe her good fortune. When war first broke out, she, along with Nina Boyle, Mary Allen, and Margaret Damer Dawson, had founded the Women Police Volunteers, or Women's Police Service, as it was now known. However, traffic duty and training new recruits, although important, had soon lost their appeal compared to solving more serious crimes. Quite by chance, she had assisted Inspector Derwent during 2 murder investigations and had been thrilled when he had requested that she was seconded to Scotland Yard permanently. On the whole, the 3 male sergeants had taken a young woman joining them in their stride. They understood that with so many young men leaving the police to go and fight for their country, the empty roles needed to be filled by someone. If there weren't enough old detectives willing or able to come out of retirement, then these eager young women would have to do. For her part, Dorothy had soon grown accustomed to her new colleagues and their individual quirks. Sergeant Clark had agreed to delay his retirement when war broke out. He was ruled by his stomach and planned his days around tea breaks and mealtimes. Calm and unflappable, he enjoyed grumbling quietly to himself or Dorothy about almost everything, from the weather to how the war was going. Brooke and Taylor were both family men in their late 40s who hoped the war would be over before either of their sons were old enough to fight. Despite Brooke's slightly threatening appearance, Dorothy believed he had a kind heart, although so far he had only spoken precisely 32 words to her. He'd always helped when she'd asked him. Taylor was slighter and shorter than Brooke, but took great pride in his appearance. He was enamoured of everything modern, from the police cars he loved to drive at high speed to the new telephone system that had recently been installed. Their boss, Inspector Derwent, was far more difficult to understand. He was in his 50s, tall, with dark, slightly greying hair, and walked with a stick thanks to an injury he had gained during the Boer War. Despite working closely with him, Dorothy still knew very little about his private life. What she did know was that all her colleagues were irritable and frustrated at the moment. During the previous summer and early autumn, they had been investigating a spate of jewel thefts in and around the capital. The first had occurred in Kensington, the next in Belgravia, followed by 2 out in Surrey. Then, over the long, cold winter, there had been a lull. It was as if the jewel thief had vanished into thin air. That was until 10 days ago. Lady Rimmington had been staying with her niece, Mrs. Adele de Vere, in Mayfair. Mr. de Vere was a wealthy industrialist. There had been a dinner to celebrate Lady Rimmington's 60th birthday. By all accounts, it had been a very grand affair. However, when the guest of honour had woken up the following morning, she'd realised her diamond tiara was missing from her dressing room. Like all the other thefts, the stolen jewels were extremely valuable and had been taken without any visible signs of a break-in. All doors and windows were locked from the inside, and the jewels had disappeared while the occupants were sound asleep. The detectives were convinced that in each case a servant must be involved, and that
Sample complete. Ready to continue?